Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. This morning's sermon text is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 20 and 21. And it reads, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. Avoiding the profane and idle babbling and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. By way of introduction, the Halloween season is upon us, and this is one holiday where deception is presented and on display for everyone to see. For instance, regardless of what one may dress up as, the purpose of the costume is to present a falsehood and hide the truth. Well, likewise, there are many forms of religions or worldly knowledge that present falsehoods which mislead and hide the truth pertaining to the holy word of God, the Bible. For the devil, otherwise known as Satan, is the originator of deceit. And Jesus describes Satan as a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. John 8:44. So today I want to work in the reverse pertaining to the sermon text. Two points of application. First, avoid what is falsely called knowledge. And second, guard what is committed to your trust. First, avoid what is falsely called knowledge. By way of subtext, the record of the fall of man marks the starting point where the communion between God and man separate. Satan is so crafty and deceptive that he plants seeds of doubt in the mind of Eve. Satan tries to put God's integrity in question and deceives Eve into thinking that God is actually holding something back from her, most likely in the form of knowledge. Let me quickly take you to that passage, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Let me read that for you. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God's has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave her husband with her, and he ate. So like many in the world today, Eve chose Satan's lie over God's truth. Satan basically called God a liar. After all, God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the eye and good for food. Genesis 2:9. Satan deceived Eve into thinking to herself, how could this tree in the midst of the garden truly be any different? James 1:14, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Friends, temptations, deceptions are all tools of Satan's arsenal to draw people away from God, to commit sin. Even the wisest man to ever walk this planet besides Jesus, King Solomon, gave in to that temptation, evil influences, and it affected his walk with God. 1 Kings 11:4, for it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to God, as was the heart of his father David. Today, Satan uses things in the world that are presumed good for his own evil influences as well, like religion, or the symbol of the rainbow, love, and marriage. And God's counsel for us is to take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Deuteronomy 11:16. You see, deception includes several types of communications or omissions that serve Satan's purpose, which will either distort or omit from the whole truth. And one common phrase we hear a lot of today is fake news, fake news. Well, false statements, misleading claims can also serve in a way to camouflage the truth contained in the Bible. I'm going to use that word a lot today, camouflage. Well, it's the same thing. Well, Satan used a tree in the midst of the garden for his purpose. It's camouflaged among the rest. But let me stick to the context of what is falsely called knowledge in the context. You see, back in the first century, a doctrine was infecting the early church. It would become known as Gnosticism, which is derived from the Greek word nous, which means to know or knowledge. And this heresy is basically a collection of religious ideas that taught that special knowledge was needed to bring one from the physical realm to the spiritual realm. And as this doctrine progressed, it claimed that salvation could only be obtained through this special so-called knowledge. So in essence, faith got replaced by intellect. Think of it today, how faith gets replaced by works. Faith gets replaced by tradition. And common among many, faith gets replaced by pride. The core foundation of Christianity is faith alone and Christ alone. And Gnosticism was truly infecting the early church. And you can read about it, especially as Paul, he addresses the Colossians. Let me take you to that passage, Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. This is what Paul says. He says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power." See, false teachers, false doctrines like to impose more things on a person that are unnecessary. False practices such as worshiping angels or images in order to get to God, when that is truly not of Scripture. You know, and that kind of worship exists today as well. Go to La Salette in Attleboro this Christmas, and you'll see plenty of people bowing down, praying, worshiping statues of saints or other figures. It's very disheartening when you see that. Exodus 20, verses 4 and 5 read, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God." You know, the response for the Apostle Paul towards heresies like this was, you know, why would you want to exchange the freedom that you have in Christ for all these man-made legalistic rules that simply just, they cannot save your soul? It's like trying to place yourself back under the law to earn salvation. It'll never happen. You know, the most common form of deceit stems from people that use the Bible to their own advantage. For instance, cults like the Jehovah's Witnesses pull scripture verses from the Bible and take them out of context, twist them in a way that represents their version of Christianity. And they do it by either adding or subtracting from the Bible text. And what's even worse, many are deceived because the truth is, again, camouflaged by translations of the Bible that detract from Jesus as God Almighty, such as the New World Translation Bible. You know, when talking to people on the streets that are associated with cults, for the most part, they are in agreement with you, with Christians about God. We can all agree that God is loving and God is holy and God is merciful and God is just. You know, it's Satan's purpose to make it hard to distinguish genuine Christians from the deceivers, the make-believers. 2 Corinthians 11:14 and 15, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. They are like the tares in the wheat field. Tares and weeds camouflage themselves so well that they look just like the wheat. And because it's so hard to identify them, the common way for a farmer to identify the difference is by waiting until springtime when they are ready for harvest. Well, friends, I'm not urging you to wait till heaven to see who is saved and who is not. You can identify if a person truly is saved when the conversation shifts to who God truly is. If they fail to believe that Jesus is Lord, God, and Savior, that's when you realize that person is deceived, that his or her soul is in danger. And this leads to the second point of application, to guard what is committed to your trust. You see, when you guard something, you are protecting whatever it is from harm or damage. Guarding is a form of defense. And defending the deity of Christ is very important because Jesus, he's the center of our faith. Jesus is more than just a great man, as cults or worldly organizations would state. Jesus is more than just a prophet, as false religion states. Jesus is not a created angel, as the Jehovah's Witnesses would state. Jesus is Lord, God, and Savior. He's God Almighty. And the Bible states that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Religion is man's attempt to get to God. But Christianity is God's attempt to get to man through his only begotten Son, Jesus. Jesus being part of the Godhead, consisting of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is fully God. But he limited himself in such a way to also be fully man. By putting aside godly attributes such as omnipresence. And the Apostle Paul, led by the Spirit, wrote about Jesus' incarnation. About God becoming man. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8 read, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." See, people think that Jesus was only a man because they can't get past his humanity. God became flesh because only he can save people from their sins. And furthermore, the animal sacrifices under the old Levitical system, they're insufficient. And people made a mockery of them. For it's just far too easy just to take an animal to the temple and have it killed to make propitiation for one's sins. But in reality, this was a foreshadow of the things to come. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. The old sacrificial system was removed in order to make way for a once and for all complete sacrifice of Christ. For Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And Christians worship a living God. Compared to all these false religions, Buddha's dead, Muhammad's dead, popes die and get replaced, but Jesus lives forever. And as Jesus spoke to the Apostle Paul, you know, you can apply it to yourself as well. Acts 16:28. Speaking to the Apostle Paul about his mission. And the mission is for all of us as well. To open their eyes in order to turn them from the darkness to light. And from the power of Satan to God. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. I think one of the best statements pertaining to Christ's eternality is from Jesus himself. Revelations 1:8. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. However, you got the Watchtower Society that promotes the New World Translation Bible that claims that Jesus is not God, nor did he speak this text, but Jehovah did. Well, we can agree with him because Jehovah God did speak it. His name is Jesus. And it's important to be like a Berean, you know, learning and examining scriptures for purposes such as these. You know, scripture interprets scripture. So a good question for the cult member would be, if Jehovah isn't Jesus, please help me understand Revelation 1:17, where it reads, and when I saw him, this is John speaking of Jesus, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his hand on me saying, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. So if Jesus isn't Jehovah, then when did Almighty Jehovah die? Again, to reemphasize the point that people get deceived when things get camouflaged. It's a way for Satan to blend things together. Kind of like those commercials where blindfolded people are given like a taste test to between like Coke and Pepsi to see the difference. You know, they may look the same, but they sure don't taste the same. And well, I have a question for each of you. If someone was to give you a new King James Bible, the New World Translation Bible, would you be able to spot out the difference? The New World Translation Bible does not translate what the Greek text states, particularly when the words Lord or God is in the text, but rather translate the text according to what their theology dictates. They believe that God should only be referenced by one name and one name only, Jehovah, a covenant name for the God of Israel in the Old Testament, when clearly the Bible references God by many names, God of Abraham, God of Isaac. Even Jesus addresses God the Father. The New World Translation Bible adds the word Jehovah 237 times when the name is not even found once in the New Testament and only 4 times in the Old Testament. When Jehovah is included in Scripture, it changes the meaning of key text. For example, let me take you to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. It reads, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon his name. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What they do is they add Jehovah. Whoever calls upon the name of Jehovah will be saved. You know, God is clearly exalting the name of his son Jesus here. So why would the Father clearly exalt the name of the Father? And Acts 4:12 pertains to the chief cornerstone being Jesus and states, "There is no name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." So I would urge you to stay away from the New World Translation Bible because it detracts from Jesus, of who he is, and the authority he has. See, one of the key factors about false teachers, they tell you what you want to hear instead of what you need to hear. And as a result, they compromise their credibility. For instance, a famous prosperity teacher, Joel Osteen, he did an interview, was asked about getting to heaven pertaining to people that don't have the same beliefs as him. And he supports John 14:6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." When asked about Jews or Muslims or atheists, he sidesteps the question, stating he doesn't know their heart. You know, it's up to God to judge. So he basically didn't defend Scripture. You know, guarding the truth not only means to defend it, but to stand by it. And brothers and sisters, that's what we need to do. So in conclusion, deception can be presented in many forms that seem right around the world, but camouflage and contradict the truth contained in here. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." And the fruits that you can easily spot are the doctrines they adhere to. 1 Timothy 6:20, "Guard what is committed to your trust. Avoid the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge." Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for revealing yourself through your Son, for revealing your word through the Bible. This is the truth that we all need to stand up to. This is the truth that you have given us, Father. This is the truth that we all need to live by as children of you. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity that you give us, Father, to go out into this lost and dying world and share this hope that we have, the gospel truth pertaining to your Son, Jesus. But what he did for sinners such as ourselves. How he took our sin upon himself. He exchanged his righteousness for our wretchedness, so that we could be made right, so that we can have a place in eternity with you. And we are so grateful, Father, for your redemptive plan. Father, I ask that you help us all stay aware of the deceptions and the darkness that's in this world. Help us keep us on our toes, Father, because we could be led astray. If King Solomon could be led astray, so could us. So can we. Thank you, Father, for, again, revealing what is truth and what is not. Let us all stand on the foundation of the truth found in your word only. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.